Amen. Our scripture today is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" Before you take your seat, look at somebody and ask the question, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" Amen. I want to speak on the subject, the identity crisis. You may be seated. Father, I thank you again for your grace and love. I thank you for bringing us together in this place of worship. I ask that you would speak truth to our hearts. Help us, God, to know that you are the Lord and that beside you there is none other. And Lord, I pray that today we would understand who you are, know more about your word, but most importantly, to know you for ourselves. We thank you for this wonderful privilege. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today and change us by what we hear. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Amen. By now, each of us should know a great deal about the Lord. We should know based on what we've heard through God's word. We should know through the personal experiences that we've had in God. And we should understand that God has not failed us. He may not have given us everything that we desire and all that we would want, but God has been with us. We can bear witness of that. Today, as we look at the disciples and how they had walked with Jesus Christ, Jesus was giving them a test. Not a test to really something that he could take personally and say, okay, this makes me feel good that you know who I am. But more importantly, to help them understand that unless you know who Christ is, your faith is on shaky ground. We have an identity crisis in this nation. We have an identity crisis in this world. But more importantly, we have an identity crisis in the church. We don't know who God is. When we become absorbed with discovering ourselves, finding out who we are, learning what our gifts are, and all of that has its place, but is not most important. The important thing, and hear me well, the important thing is for us to know Jesus Christ, to know who he is, to know his power, to know his grace, to know everything that he has done for us in order for us to become what he would have us to be. Let me put this in perspective. Israel would not have been a nation apart from knowing God. As a matter of fact, their very name signifies their relationship with God. The Christian church cannot be the church without knowing the one who started the church. Christian has to do with the name that Jesus Christ took on, or the title that he had, Christ, meaning the anointed one of God. Without that, you don't have a church. And today people are saying, we don't need the blood. We don't need the name. We just have our group. We meet together. And they're saying that's all that's needed. We have an identity crisis. Jesus said it when he was on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, "Who do men say that I am?" And then the second question he asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Let's look at this today as we will ponder these facts and ponder these things. If we don't know who Christ is, then we don't know who we are. And if we don't know who we are, we don't know what we should be doing. And if we don't know what we should be doing, anything can become our agenda. Let me tell you what happened in Germany in the early 1930s. Adolf Hitler came to power. And not only did he believe, and the people believed, that he was an inspirational leader, but they viewed Hitler as one who would fulfill the will of God. In one of his speeches, Hitler said that we're fighting for our homeland and we want to rid it of this Jewish poison. He believed he was doing the will of God. If we're not sure of who we are, and the only way we can be sure of who we are is to know who he is. And if we know who he is, then we'll understand what we're supposed to be doing on this earth. Don't take my word for it. Don't just say, well, Reverend Coleman said. We want you to accept it for yourself. As a matter of fact, in Psalms 34 and verse 8, David the psalmist knew God, but he didn't want people to take just his reference and say, okay, go on what I tell you. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You try him. You take him on. You believe. And with your belief, God will become real to you. Many today don't know him. And the fact that they live the way they live, apart from God, is a demonstration that they don't know him. But is there anybody in the house today that will say, I know him? I know him. You must have this personal encounter with God. So we have to bring ourselves to the place where we have a faith test. Because with the faith test comes the identity test. And if you know who you are, no one can discourage you. Even in the trials of life, even in the sufferings of life, even when you're going through times of persecution, as the old saints would say, you can't make me doubt him. Because I know too much about him. Now, I don't know enough, but I know enough for me to get by this situation that I'm in. We have an identity crisis. The interesting thing that Jesus would do for the disciples in this test, who do men say that I am? The interesting thing is that he was not saying it so that they could make him feel good. He wanted to know how much of the influence of the people around him had impacted their mind and impacted their faith. So he asked the first question, who do men say that I am? Because even though you would say, all right, I know Reverend Coleman, and he's got a reputation in the community, it might be good or bad. So Jesus was saying, what are they saying on the street? He wanted to know whether or not what they had heard on the street was influencing what they knew. You get that? Because someone might have had a bad experience. Someone may have said, well, he didn't do what I asked him to do. Who do men say that I am? And they said, some say that, well, you're one of the prophets, or you're Jeremiah. Some are saying that you are a great teacher, that you're Elijah, risen from the dead. That's what they're saying, which meant they had been listening. Let me tell you the problem that we have with that. You cannot run a church on public opinion. You cannot establish your faith on public opinion. It has to be the genuine truth. The real truth, the whole truth that sets you free. It has to be that truth that you have in your heart. In other words, your mind has to be made up. Because what will happen if one group says this and another group says this? Well, you're going to change based on which group you're in. You'll be like the wind, tall, or you'll be tossed to and fro with the wind every doctrine. So he questioned them. What are they saying? As if to say, in your identity test, in this faith test that you're going through now, how much does this influence you? But when you've walked with God, you don't have to ask somebody else, how good is your God? Do I have a witness? You don't have to go around and question people. What do you know about God? What do you know about? No. I'm willing to listen to what you're saying, but I don't have to be influenced by what you're saying because I know him. I can be inspired by what you're saying, but let me tell you something. I know that he's real because he's real in my soul. In my soul. So you've got to know him. That was the first test, first question. But then Jesus said, now, I want to ask you this second question. Who do you say I am? Now, even though you've got your experiences and you say, well, I know the Lord and I walk with him. And what Jesus was getting to, not just to discover or for them to discover that they had genuine faith. That was not the point. The point was not to get them to just give a gut feeling. All right. See, a lot of people have a gut feeling. You know how it is, we try to discern people and we try to figure out which angle they're coming from, and I just got this bad feeling. Oh, I have this. They seem like a nice person. Jesus was not trying to test their feelings. He was not trying to test their intellect. Are y'all with me? Don't go to sleep on me now, because I come by, I'll shake you. What was Jesus doing? First thing he wanted to know, how much of the influence that the world has had on you? Mm-hmm. But the second thing was to dig a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. Because when they looked around, watch this, when they looked around at the disciples, they were probably saying to themselves, what does he want us to say? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Peter said, watch this, you're the Christ. Amen. That's who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now notice, Jesus didn't tell Peter, oh, this came from your understanding. Oh, this came because, man, you really good. You know how it is, but we want somebody to stroke our ego. We want to tell us how good we are and how nice we are and everything. But Jesus said, Peter, I want you to know this because on this will be the foundation of your faith. What you heard, what you received, didn't come from man. I know that's not in the text. This is my footnotes. He said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, the Holy Spirit, has come into your heart, has ignited a fire in you. Let me tell you something. A lot of folk are trying to base their identity on what they've heard about Jesus or their experiences of Jesus. But until you know him in the power of the Holy Spirit, and when you are born again, guess who birthed you into the kingdom of God? The Holy Spirit took you, gave you birth into the kingdom so that now you are a child of God based on your birthright. Everybody say birthright. You've been placed into the kingdom of God. So just the same way that a little baby would look up at the face of its mother or father, you've been able to behold the face of God in Jesus Christ because the Holy Ghost said, look at him. Now watch this. Every time, I didn't want to go this deep so early because we haven't really got, but every time you face a situation, either you're going to face that situation based on hearsay, what others say God can do based on what you know, or based on what God reveals through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you face an identity crisis, it's not going to come when everything is going well. It's going to come when the bottom falls out of life, when you're faced with a need, when you're in the doctor's office and the doctor is telling you this. That's when your identity has to come up. That's when you pull out your ID and say, wait a minute, you don't know who I am. I am a child of God. I've been born again. I'm saved and sanctified. God loves me. That ain't going to change. But if you're going through this identity crisis, well, I wonder who God is. Like I said, it's not going to come on a sunny day. When a storm comes, that's when it's going to come. I was waiting on a storm to pass the other day, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, when the treetops stop moving, that's when you know there's peace. I started to shout in my car. You see, you ever notice when a storm comes, the treetop? And you ever notice that when life hits us with a storm, this little treetop of ours, mine going this way, blowing in every direction, but when there's stillness, that's when the storm is over. That's when you know God is in control. Don't touch nobody, but just look at him and tell him God is in control. You better know that. You better know him. So Jesus was taking him through this identity test so that they would understand you can't build it on hearsay. You've got to build it on the truth. And this truth has to come from heaven. God loves you so much that he would never have you walking around without an ID. They had this thing in Campbell County a couple of years ago where they were trying to get an ID for every child. So that child, you could find them anywhere, and that child would have an ID. You think God will send you out into this world without an ID? Here's what Jesus was doing. He was issuing to them their ID so that wherever they would go, whatever they would be confronted with in life, all they'd have to do is to know who they were by knowing who God is. That's my whole sermon, but I think I'm just going to make a few other points in this. Y'all getting something out of this? All right. Now, listen. Our personal encounter with Christ through the Holy Spirit is the way that we identify ourselves, nothing else. Anything that you have added on is at the bottom of the sheet, all right? All right, what you did and what you own, that's at the bottom. Y'all getting this? If you're filling out a resume, you start with your name. This is who I am. And because we name the name of Jesus, because we claim his precious presence in our life, that's when we know our true identity. You cannot make it in this day and age. You cannot make it in this world without knowing God. You know that? Let me give you this little illustration. What if Jesse came home and asked the question, what are people saying about me as your spouse? Right? Can she ask that? Yeah. And I said, well, some are saying that you're a good wife. Some are saying, well, I wish Miss Jessie would do this. And I wish Miss Jessie would do that. Right? They can say that, right? Because that's hearsay. But then she's going to come right around. And she's going to put it in full circle. Say, but who do you say? That's a different picture now, Miss Cavalier. See now that's a little bit different here. Now I can't talk about what they're saying. And I tell you what they're saying better not influence. Oh, Lord have mercy. It better not influence what I'm saying. Here is Jesus looking his disciples in the face and asking them, who do you say I am? And he was expecting an answer, not rooted in their own understanding, because the Bible says, don't lean to your own understanding. That's right. But he was expecting the Holy Spirit to bring up that fruit of knowledge, that revelation, because when they had been walking with Jesus, even though the Spirit hadn't been poured out, Jesus had the Spirit in him. And so they could at least receive that temporary anointing. Oh, yeah, I know who you are. And that's exactly what Peter did. I'm not going to go through all the slides this morning, but I want you to get this final point. I'm getting this final point. Everybody doesn't need to have all the answers all the time. What did I just say? Everybody doesn't need to have all the answers all the time. The fact that they were disciples. Y'all getting this? The fact that they were disciples and they were together meant as long as one of us have the map, none of us need to be lost. Are y'all getting this? Y'all getting this now? There's some times where I might not know how to read the map because I'm crying, all right? I'm in a state of mind that I can't even see it if it was right before me. But as long as I have somebody in the bunch that I'm in to come over and tell me, don't worry about it, I got the map. I know where we're going. Do y'all see what I'm saying? As long as somebody in this church at one time when we have a need to say, wait a minute, I know what Jesus is doing. Everybody don't have to have it for all of us to be benefited by it. Y'all missed that. That's why we are church, and that's why you as an individual, you can't make up the church. It's we. And Lord knows we don't always get along all the time. But as long as we get along and we know, and the disciples were the same way, they would argue, oh, I'm greater than you and I'm better than you. But when the need came, as bad as they were, as much as they were jealous of each other, you know what they did? They said, Jesus is the Son of God. Do y'all see what I'm saying? I've seen a lot of churches let little stuff come in. Uh-oh, coming down your row now. Let little stuff come in because this ain't right and that ain't right. Well, we all, you know, at some time we ain't gonna be where we should be. Just like the moment you pull off from the gas station, your tank starts going empty. You just fill it up. And then the only reason why it doesn't go empty is because you don't drive it. Talk to me in here. So I'm not going to always be at the top of my game. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm not going to always have it all together, but as long as somebody in the group, as long as somebody can bring us back around and said, wait a minute, I've got the revelation. I know who Jesus is. Let's keep going. Amen. Let's keep going. The church is in an identity crisis. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to move on. Let me just give you a couple of issues. Number one, lost identity. Everybody say lost identity. You just lost it. Pressures of life put you in a place where you just lose it. Now you don't know what to do. Here's the thing. Same God who identified you will re-identify you. You might have to go through some type of screening and make sure that you're there. Call repentance. Get on your knees. Quit trying to say, it ain't my fault. It may not be your fault. But guess what? It's happened to you. And if you want to get right with God, every time you sin, you lose your spiritual identity. And the Bible says in Numbers, be sure and know that your sin will find you out. Man, I lost my identity. I don't know what to do. Repent. Repent. Come back to God and say, Lord, you know what? I didn't do what I should have done. Turn it around. Second thing is stolen identity. It happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve had everything and let the devil deceive her to thinking she ain't got enough. It's called greed. Amen. I'm not going to get into the details of that, but God never said that we as disciples wouldn't have times where our mind is shaky. Circumstances in life come and you've got all these options. I remember one time I went to God in prayer. I said, Lord, what are my options? And the Spirit asked me, options? When you go to God, there's only one way. God's way. I want to ask this crazy question. How many of y'all have ever had your identity stolen? And what it took to get it back? You got to go through all of the changes, all because of deception. We are living in an age of deception. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The next one is false identity, or what we call fake. I don't have time to deal with all of that one. But you know how it is when folks are imposters. Amen. And I just want to say this. Judas Iscariot was right in the midst of the disciples when Jesus was telling them, do you know who I am? Who do you say I am? He was right in the midst of them. But you know what? He was phony. He was fake. Now, I got this huge question to ask of the Church of the Living God. How come? Now, why is this? That a dozen folk would jump on somebody after they wrong, telling them, you did wrong. Just want you to know you did wrong. But where were those dozen folk before the person did wrong and why they won't? Oh, that's a bad question. That's a bad question. Did I hear somebody say fake? And why is it? Why is it that people, when they're talking about the sin, that they don't have time to look at their own life? Somebody says, sweep around your own. Did somebody say fake? I thought I heard fake. But see, you got to first check yourself. The reason why I'm not trying to be in other folks' business, guess what? I'm trying to. Did somebody say fake? In order to be genuine, I've got to understand you. Even when I, as pastor, have understood that people sometimes fall, I don't come to them with a sledgehammer. Because there have been times I had to be on my knees before God, and I try to lead them through that experience as the Holy Spirit leads me, teach them how to turn around. All I want to know is, are you trying to turn it around? Are you trying to get back on the right path? Fake identity, stolen identity, lost identity. Then the last one, misplaced identity. Did you not know that there's a statute in Virginia that says, you can have your driver's license, but if you're operating a vehicle and your driver's license is not on you, they can cite you. Well, it's at home. Or it's in the other car. Now, sometimes they'll let you go with a warning. Watch this now. Talk about misplaced identity. Some folks leave their Christian identity at the church.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
And expect for the usher to hand it out and say, here you go. Here you go. You better take your ID with you.
Amen.
Because if your ID is not with you, you can't get into places.
Yes.
Lord have mercy. If your ID is not on you, but when you, Lord, let me preach, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to take him off. There are times when you can be standing in the midst of folk cussing you out, and the only thing you got on your mind, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the old words want to come. You know that, but you got on Jesus now. Look at somebody and say, I got on Jesus. I can't take it off. Tears coming down your eyes. You just as mad as you want to be, but the Holy Ghost got his hand on you. You want to say something, but the only thing you can say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your ID is what's going to take you through this. Jesus was going to leave them in a few days. And he wanted to make sure, get this ID. Don't misplace it. Take the Lord with you everywhere you go. On the street, on your job, in your home, when you're all alone. Take the Lord with you everywhere you go. I'm finished preaching because we're out of time. Lord have mercy. Where did the time go? Look at somebody to keep your ID. Father, thank you now for your grace and love. We pray you'd bless us now and help us to understand your truth. Help us, God, to really take this in. We're living in a dangerous time. We're living in a confusing time where people don't know who they are. And some people don't even realize what God created them to be. But in our identification with Christ, in our identification with that amazing one, the one who has all power. Lord, we understand what we must do. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Thank you for my ID. May I ever hold it near to my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to open the doors of the church. I'm going to ask if there's anyone. We all stand, please.